Blockbus.net Podcast Network.
The year is 3129. Mankind is adrift in the stars. Giant spaceships hurtle the last of humanity towards their destiny, whatever it may be. Only one thing can keep them going and power these great ships, will feed the minds and spirits of these people. And that is the last brewing company to survive in the future, Circle Brewing. So great was their product that they indeed became the legendary Earth Brewers. But, you know, it's right now, 2018, or maybe 2019, depending on when you're listening to this. And you can get Circle Brewing right by going into Austin, by stopping into their brewery on Breaker Lane. Or you can get it in convenience stores where there's all sorts of good stuff. Martin, you're from the future. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, Austin is a city with no shortage of breweries. But this is some of the best I've ever had.
Well, there you go. You can't ask somebody who's going to give you a truer thing about beer than Mr. Martin Thomas, because he's an alcoholic.
All right, we got the newest little mini-movie from Into the Dark, the premier horror Hulu anthology series, which, I don't know, when I hear Into the Dark, did you guys ever see that movie, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly? There was that one song, it's like, if you close the door, whatever, and it's like, the world looks better into the dark. That's what I always think when I hear that. It's like, that was a perfect opportunity they missed for a theme song for this series.
I was so hung up on you calling it the premiere series.
Somebody has to give this credit. Somebody out there.
Yeah, I don't associate that. It reminds me of Into the Woods. Like it sounds like it's going to be a more like a more Once Upon a Time-ish kind of thing.
Oh,
than what it is.
Man,
that could be better.
Every month they release a new fairy tale themed horror movie. That'd be something, all right.
Yeah, like this. Yeah. Maybe this is what Tell Me a Story should have been called.
You know what? Actually, yeah, there we go. We got to do some kind of like synergizing of these different channel brands,
right?
into the dark and Tell Me a Story. There we go.
Yeah, please add us, Hulu. We got your next thing.
But yeah, so this is Into the Dark. Now, I believe I asked you guys earlier because I know, Ben, you have not seen much of this series, have you?
I actually have not seen any others. I tried to get some time to watch another one, and that did not happen before we got the review.
Yes, but Les, I believe you have watched at least one of these,
yes,
right?
Yes, so I saw the premiere Halloween one, in the sense of it being the first one of them. And then I the second one, I can't remember what the second one was titled, for Thanksgiving, and I skipped it. And then the...
Oh, okay. I got the episode titles here. It's the first one was The Body.
Yes.
And I believe that one had Rebecca Rittenhouse and a bunch of actors I don't.
I really enjoyed it. It had the guy that plays, I believe, White Josh in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and he's a screamer.
Oh, Tom Bateman.
Yeah, gotcha.
It ended up being really fun. It was a bit of a slow start, but it was cool. And I like the premise of what they're doing here. I'm kind of a sucker for anthology things, so that was a cool premise, but. Also, that I thought initially it was going to be a series of Halloween movies, and it's not. It's a series of holiday movies, all the holidays. So,
So that's where every month is themed after the holiday month. Yeah.
You know, with Christmas having just happened, I watched Holiday Inn, and so it you know where the whole premise of that musical is that they just keep running through like holiday themed. Things and so they have like a President's Day and all this stuff. It's crazy watching people pull out the more obscure holidays that don't get whole movies around them. Like, I wish the Thanksgiving special had grabbed my interest better because a Thanksgiving themed horror movie is just crazy.
I can't wait for the Arbor Day special. It's gonna be great.
Exactly. Like President's Day is gonna be nuts. I don't know. I don't know how many of these are gonna do, but I like the idea behind them.
Martin Luther King Day will be the best one. I swear.
Oh God.
My main issue is nobody sees commercials anymore, so how do they market? Like, I'm on board for this, but it's still, I didn't know what I was getting until I was done watching the Halloween one, and somebody went, no, there's going to be a Thanksgiving one next, and I went, no shit.
Yeah, I read the news about these coming out, I was like, that sounds like a really cool idea, and I kind of trust Blumhouse to produce it, but it was the big question about where they're going.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know. I don't know how they market things anymore quite like this. Like, I don't see commercials, so it's odd to get things in front of me.
Yeah, they
like
only
this.
Drop them on the internet for, like, YouTube trailers, because that's the only reason I knew this existed in the first place. So it's interesting, though, too, because, I mean, when you talk about commercials, it's very clear that this was designed for people who don't have, like, Hulu Premium, because there's commercial breaks in between every now and then. We're just like, oh, that's an odd way to structure this. But
I don't see those. Like, I don't see the commercial breaks, so I can't imagine where the breaks would go.
Yeah. But so we had the three episodes so far. The Body that came out during October. Flesh and Blood, that Thanksgiving one we mentioned, with Dermot Mulroney, who was in that one.
I do love Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah, which, that's cool. And then the last one that came out last month was Pooka, which was directed by Nacho Vigalondo, which that's the one they were advertising a lot in the trailers, that creepy, like, monster thing with giant eyeballs.
Now, yeah. I've seen about half of Pooka, and I'm dying to finish it. It's fun. And I'll talk about a little bit later why I think it's more fun than New Year New You. But, well,
what? You didn't love it? Oh, no.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why, and that's probably better than New Year, New You. But we should actually explain what the plot of this one is. So This one takes place, it's on the eve of 2019, four longtime friends being played by, respectively, Suki Waterhouse, Carly Chaikin, Kirby Howell-Baptiste, and Melissa Berglund are meeting at this big old house they have. And it's like, oh yeah, we're going to drink, we're just going to stay up all night, we're going to celebrate the New Year. But Suki Waterhouse, playing Alexis, is harboring a grudge against Carly Chaikin, who plays Danielle, because, well, Danielle has gone on to a successful Instagram career. She's one of those, you know, those obnoxious influencers who sells perfume products and that stuff. She's got a movie deal and a TV show coming up. And Alexis kind of had her life ruined because of something that they keep addressing in the background that ended up with a facial scar that she got and a few other things that killed her acting career. So she seems to be plotting something in the background that will eventually come into a head, unfortunately, way too long into this movie. But then that's when things start to go really crazy, because it's like, oh, well, there's conspiracy, attempted murder, all kinds of things going on. And, well, where do
not
I
a lot of it? Interesting attempted murder.
Yeah, well, it feels like that's supposed to be something that should be a threat at some point, but probably my biggest complaint I have with this movie, and I think we talked about it a little bit in our little Facebook message group, it takes way too gosh dang long to get to anything in this film. Because it's a good 40 minutes before even the major threat and conflict actually manifests in the story.
It is. I checked the clock on it. It is 42 minutes before things really start to go off.
Oh my gosh.
And it keeps, like, trying to tease you that maybe it's a psychological horror, maybe it's a kind of like supernatural, like Carrie psychic horror thing. Like, there's literally a point where a character has a huge emotional outburst, thunder claps, and the power goes out. I'm like, oh, she's supposed to have caused this, or where are we going? And it's like literally me grasping at straws to figure out what is actually going to happen in this goddamn movie at any point.
It didn't confuse me on that front. Like, I didn't think she was Firestarter, you know, controlling the war or anything. But I ended up making a list after done watching it of, like, good, bad, and verdict. Because everything I liked about this movie, I really liked. It just, there's these long gaps of waiting to get to that next part I liked. And a huge part of that is the act structure. I would swear the first act is 40 something minutes long, and I don't know if it's a lack of trust for the audience, like, but you've got me. I get what's happening here. I get the structure of this friend group and the implicit threat, like, that's kind of going unspoken between them. But if a little bit later on, I don't want to get too spoilery about it for it, but part of the movie's problem for me is that they want two or three twists to work, or not twists, but small reveals. Like, is this person the monster, or is this person really the monster? And are these people also in on it, or is this person, or, like, are this person going to betray this person? And they kind of want to have all the cake and eat it too. They want each of these things to work, and it kind of muddles the whole thing. It runs into the similar problem to me that The Body had, where it was fun. Well, the Body was goofier and more fun, but it would have been really great crammed into an hour.
Yeah, it really should have copied the Black Mirror format more. Yes. You know?
God, it's very long, actually. Like, there's, I was saying earlier before we started with Justin, it was like, there are times where, honestly, I did fast forward a bit and then come back, but I fast forward and be like, when does this dialogue section end? Because it's really painful, really cliche, and it's not like fun horror movie archetypes cliche. It's literally, this is what you write if you think about what girls in their 20s talk about or do at a party at New Year's.
Yeah, there's like, a point I'm like, is Quentin Tarantino writing this from like Death Proof? You know, just
to me, it felt like Last House on the Left, 70s, V.C. Andrews, like trashy horror. But with like a girls writing group, like this like catty, I hate you, you know what you did, fakeness. Like at the start of it, like when the elements would stack up, it would feel a little bit like a modern version of maybe Clue, like these women arriving and they, you know, they're smiling and saying they're friends, but you know, once the dinner conversation breaks down, there's something really awful going on. Once we're there, it just took too long between them to stack them up, and I kept going like, no, I get it, come on, move on. If you're gonna go for this kind of trashy Lifetime movie, which the opening credits, the way the text is with the little copyright year and everything, like it's
that was so 70s.
Very 70s.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
if you're gonna do that, lean into it and soap opera it up a little bit. Like, clock this at an hour, and the pacing would make the cliches and everything feel a little more on purpose, and like, it would feel like everybody's leaning into a trope or an archetype, and there'd be a little bit more of a madcapness to it that I think would have really helped. Instead, I kind of languish in these long shots of like, I get it, she's got problems and is about to go off the rails, but I don't know.
Oh gosh, so many dolly shots on Suki Waterhouse just looking ominously off screen. I'm just like, okay, I get it. Something's going
to
happen.
And I like the moment that I had of like, you're leading me to think that she's the monster, but I'm pretty sure, and I can't remember the actress's name from Mr. Robot.
Carly Chaikin.
Yes, that is, was it Get Well Natalie?
Danielle? Oh,
Get Well Danielle. Yeah. You know, where like I had a moment of realizing, oh, wait, you're leading me to think that one girl is the psychopath monster, but I think we're actually going to find out that like, Suicide King style, like the person you have tied to the chair is actually running this, but then they can't resist and they go further. It's like they muddle it all by kind of having betrayal upon or twist upon twist. The only real, honestly, stylism I had with the whole thing was that for those opening credits, they had a last shot for me of the pool of the water, where. Mm-hmm. If on the slow jazz sax, like the synth jazz score, if they had over the shot started the credits in, like in the same style as those opening credits, so that it had that TV movie vibe, and over just the long shot of the pool, I would have loved it. And then like way after the credits, you could have had a stinger of what they actually end on.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I gotta say, the thing about it is, like, the film plays on a lot of cliches, and that's fine overall. Horror really is one of the genres that really owns cliches and archetypes and really lives in those in a large way if it's done right. This movie just, it belabors those points to the point where, like, when there's the big turn, the big, you know, twist in the action from that long opening segment, I was just like, Oh, these other characters had other motivations going on. I didn't actually pick up on that they were in on something. Yeah. It kind of just felt like they were all there, and then suddenly they were like turning on a dime for a second. And then I had to think back, oh, I guess there was some buildup for that, but I've been languishing for the last 30 minutes trying to figure that out.
I desperately wanted the entire character of Kelsey removed, and I wanted it to be Alexis's character that did all of Kelsey's actions.
Wait, you mean Kayla?
Is it Kayla?
The heavyset one? The fat girl or the lesbian?
No. Chloe, I believe, is the fat girl.
Okay, then Kayla. Kayla.
But Kayla's the old friend of theirs from high school that I'm trying.
You're talking about the other Kelsey girl. Okay, you're
yes,
right.
The very suddenly, oh, there's another character in your friend group that has gone unmentioned.
Okay, yeah.
Because for most of the movie, I thought when they said the accident or and kept obliquely referring to this incident in their past when they were friends, I thought it was the accident that caused Alexis's facial scarring, and it really is, but only indirectly. Like, it's an accident that involves another friend of theirs, and when I found that out, I went, that should have come out to me in a script pass. That whole character should have been eliminated, and to me, Danielle's character should have driven Alexis to those actions, to all of that other girl's actions, and she survives.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, I can see that. I almost saw a split personality thing.
You know, like I would have loved it if her character had, like, you know what you drove me to do, and it's just dumb luck that I lived through it with this scar.
No, I totally forgot that Kelsey was a thing,
like,
in the movie.
That would have nailed it for me. And instead, in a movie that already kind of felt a little over, like a little too many threads for any one of them to really be impactful, it was one more, like, extra bit of detail that I just didn't need, where this all would have sunk home for me. Really, all the issues that I wrote down for this movie, I feel like could have been improved or at least glossed over for me if the movie had just gone faster. And I feel like that's... I don't know that... I mean, I'm not saying that this was written to an hour and a half format. It's not like... I don't think Hulu went to this director or writer and said, fill this space. But it seems like the story is expanded to fill the space it's in. And I think it would have been improved by... I think all of these, this entire anthology, would have felt a little cooler to me at an hour each. Instead of being a series of movies. Though, given Jason Blum's recent unfortunate comments about there not being women directors in horror, I am really glad that Blumhouse is churning out hour and a half long horror movies and finding a woman director. I thought that was...
Well, this one was also written by a man, though, which kind of negates that, like...
Well, I thought it was funny
some
that...
There's issues
that
here that are fun.
Because I was thinking, like, well, it's directed by a woman, but it's written by a guy. And then it actually has a conversation where I think two of the girls, one of them says, you know, just because something has women involved doesn't make it immediately feminist. And I started laughing of like, oh, that's great.
There were a couple unintentional laughs like this in the movie, because at one point when the stuff actually starts to get going in the story, there's a reveal about why that's all happening, like you were alluding to, Les. Mm-hmm. And then the character of Kayla addresses to the main girl that Suki Waterhouse is playing, we're just like, you know, maybe this we could all be solved if you just get off Instagram and just talk to somebody or go do anything else literally other than this. And I'm just like, you know what? Yeah, that actually could have avoided a lot of stuff that happened in this movie.
Yeah, it's honestly, she's stuck on that bullshit. And it's kind of like, none of the characters, you know, have any strong motivation either way. It's like, you know, yeah, you know, she, you know, did a terrible thing and she made me feel bad. And now I, you know, so my future. It's like, did she really? Like, you got scarred up, but there's makeup and shit. And then the other ones are like, you know, the African-American friend's like, actually, her life seems pretty okay, yeah, except for her car breaking down. The fat friend is just like, yeah, you're having a really rough patch. That happens. But then it, like, try to make her like a star fucker is kind of like her thing. And it's like, that never really sold to me either. It just kind of felt like a really weak cliche that they kind of forced on her for motivations that they then kind of shoehorned later down the line to keep the plot moving.
Yeah, it felt like they were trying to write her as Amy Schumer, but it's like, yeah, it's just not really working here. You know, kind of like the, oh, I'm the fat girl, but I'm very sex positive, and I'm very cool, but I'm discovering myself. And it's just not strong enough writing to sell the character the way the actress is at least trying to play it, you know? Because it feels like, I can say at least all the actors are trying really hard at this movie. And they're mostly good on the whole, I would say.
It's that for taking the extra time in all these conversations and taking like this kind of long setup of the normal part of the movie before things go crazy, and you really start to see the plan at work. For taking all that extra time, it doesn't actually make it connect for me deeper any of these people's motivations. By trying to keep it secret who's in on what for a little while, because I feel like there was a feeling that there was a conversation between two characters that was a more impactful they know about it too when things first start to go off, and all it did it didn't score that point for me enough to make up for the fact that trying to keep some cards hidden, like, you know, trying to play that a little close to the vest, robbed you of motivation for these characters. Since they didn't want me to know who all was in on the plan, I couldn't know who all still actually had a grievance.
Yeah.
And it was just little... There were just little things that, when we got to scenes where things did go crazy, I would frequently love what was happening or love what the characters were yelling. It also, it includes one of my favorite methods for anyone to die ever in any movie, which is the accidental fall and hit your head.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I adore that. It only because, like, too often in movies, people shake off stuff, not to kill them. And so I'm always a big fan of the, like, no, you're supposed to live through that. What? Like, the sink killed you? Like, it's always the most tragic, like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you know, I will say, though, speaking of the kills, one of my biggest issues, and this is another one with, like, the first 40 minutes, which also is more of a directing error this time compared to writing, is this movie takes Chekhov's gun to a new level where it literally lingers for at least, like, you know, an extra 5 seconds on any weapon of death that they walk by. It's like, oh, she walked by knives. Look, there's knives in the kitchen. She walks by golf clubs. Check out these golf clubs. And, like, even the steam room, which is used a little bit. It's like, you're really lingering on things just to kind of, like, set things up a little too much.
They hint on them to the point that I started to... It started to give me suspicions that this entire party was a setup to kidnap or kill someone.
Felt out of place.
But that's the thing. Like, they really weren't doing that. Like, they didn't do it enough to show me that Alexis had a plan or something by her checking the fuse. It was pure Chekhov's gun. Like, they were just pure foreshadowing. But they do it so many times that you start to feel like this is behind the mask, like Rise of Leslie Vernon. Like, is she going and sawing the limbs around the house so that no one can escape from the second floor? You know, like, are you doing, like, the full horror movie prep? But she's not. I feel like they're trying to get it both ways. Like, they're trying to reinforce this, but so many times that it ends up implying something else. Because, yeah, I had that same feeling of, like, okay, I get it. This party's going to go wrong. But either everything you're showing me here needs to be in service of a character's motivation, or we're just showing me the same thing 3 or 4 times.
Right. It felt like they were overly, like, nudge, nudge. Hey, remember, this is a horror movie. Kind of like, things are going to go wrong. And I'm like, you don't have to do that.
The camera drifts into the shelves like she's being watched from some unseen angle sometimes. And, I mean, yeah, it really is. And it is, you know, it's just to increase mood and increase unease. But we get it. Like, there's several times where I know that's always a problem of trying to judge when you have your audience on board, you know, and trusting that you have them with you at this point in the story. But I feel like at every step there's a pause and, like, are you with us? Okay, let's go to the next step.
Yeah.
And I kept wanting to yell at it, like, hey, I'm here. I've watched movies before. I've seen a shitload of horror movies. I know that they know they're speaking to a horror educated audience as well, which makes it a little doubly frustrating.
Right.
I feel like these are purposeful choices on the pacing where they're trying to slow it down like a 70s thing, but I'm sold already. Every one of these in Into the Darks has, like, a totally different style of opening credits. And, like, this one's, you know, they're doing this on purpose. This one opens with this kind of, like, family horror, you know, the real evil is your friend's kind of 70s grindhouse vibe. And it's different than Pooka. It's different than The Body. And so, like, if you are picking vocabulary that you know speaks to me having seen some of these movies, like Stepfather and, you know, shit like that, great, lean into that. That means you can move full speed.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of the complaints I have, and I mean, we're winding down because we've been going on a while about this freaking movie.
Sure.
But I feel like the majority of my complaints that we've been kind of getting the point out is actually the directing. Because, I mean, the script by Adam Gaines is really not all that great either. But I feel like Sophia Takal, who she is normally an actress. She's been in a bunch of like stuff like VHS and that kind of thing. But then this is only her third feature, quote-unquote, technically, because she did a short and two other movies I never heard of before. But it just felt like, you know, like you said, it felt like there was no cohesive tone to the way that she's presenting. Because she's got these, like, yeah, like the very 70s-style credits. But then we get cut to these things like that weird Instagram filter flashback sequences that kept happening throughout this. Where I'm like,
oh God,
I can't even see what's happening in those shots, for the first off.
And literally peppering... I thought we were seeing flashbacks to the accident that happened in high school. And then you start to realize at the end of the movie that they've been peppering in a later scene.
Yeah, they have.
And like a dream logic sequence. And it's like she's so overwhelmed that you're seeing what's coming or something like that. But it broke the style a little bit for me.
Yeah, and then the other shots throughout the movie, a lot of them, it's like, it feels like we're watching a sitcom. Like, I almost spent, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm or Modern Family to start up at some point throughout this, with the handhelds, like you were saying, where it's like, I know it's supposed to create mood, but it just feels cheap. And, of course, being Blumhouse, like, I'm sure they only gave him, like, a couple $1,000 to go, you got this one house shooting here, you know, kind of thing.
Wait, what a fucking house that is. Like, seriously, I guess she grew up there, but now it's like... You have a house with a sauna and a pool, and it's like three stories and six bedrooms.
Yeah,
and
how freaking rich is this family?
Christ! Like, I also want to say the movie does really poorly with the geography of the house, as far as the where each room is.
Yeah,
there's like there's scenes where like she's clearly upstairs, and then she doesn't run downstairs.
Yeah, there's a point where someone finds a body, and then another person is going out there. I don't see how those two characters don't pass each other. They both
and
just
then she randomly ran upstairs.
Yeah.
And then somehow they locked the front door from the inside out, and you need a key to get out the front door from the inside. And then they go to the garage, and somehow the other people get outside. The killers. It's like, I don't know what's happening anymore.
Yeah.
Although that did also lead to my favorite, like, unintentionally funny moment when they open the garage door and one of the characters, like, does the judo karate kick into the other character's chest before they walk away.
Yeah, just screams and kicks. That's great. Yeah.
That was hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing at that.
Actually,
something that you, Justin, you had mentioned, I think, in our Facebook chat kind of before this, was about the language in it, which didn't bother. So... you'd ask, you know, is it a bit prudish to think that them saying fuck this much throughout, like, their entire conversation is odd? And it really didn't jump out to me, and it made me realize that I swear a whole lot more than you do on average. I would bet money.
well, but that's the thing, like, I'm not against
probably. Separately, I swore a lot more in high school than I do now. I mean, I would bet I still swear marginally more than you. But I swore phenomenally more in high school, and I feel like that language bubble happens again when you get amongst a previous group of friends. And I could see where these girls might talk a little more high school, you know, once you've had a professional office job for a while and you've had to monitor your language in some kind of environment, you stop swearing quite as much. Or rather, you start talking like the environment that you need to, but... So for me, the language didn't bother me. I think I only noticed it because I was looking for it after you had mentioned it, partly because of that high school bubble and partly the stress of the situation tying back to a high school emotion.
Sure. I think my point was just that it was not very good script writing. That was
I know exactly what you mean on feeling like when a show jumps from like CBS to CBS All Access or something. And suddenly you're like, hey, we're lawyers who can say fuck, so fuck you, buddy. And like, wow, you guys definitely found a Howard Stern, like, we can say, and it sounds like a Terrence and Phillip South Park thing of like, we discovered swear words. And like, I didn't get this vibe off that. I get what you're saying on it, but it didn't. That was oddly one of the things I felt was fully justifiable in the script for how they spoke.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and I got the image of this being a Terrence and Phillip cartoon that make the movie a whole lot better. Hey there, buddy!
But it would also only be 30 minutes, which would be much better.
Yeah. So, I mean, probably just winding down here. I really wanted to go in this with a good attitude about her. Just like, hey, I heard Puka's pretty good, and the body, you know, I got some good vibes from a few reviews here. But this one, I gotta be honest, my fiance and I were watching this together, and we were just so incredibly bored throughout this. You know, by the time things started to pick up, there hadn't been enough motivation, like you were saying, Les, to really drive us forward or anything. And I still would hold out to say maybe someone else can do something with this, because it's like, yeah, with an anthology, you're always going to get some stronger, some weaker elements to them. Like even, VHS or the ABCs of Death.
Yeah.
Not all those shorts are great, obviously. And I'm just hoping this is kind of a fluke, because at this point I'm just like, yeah, if this is all going to be like this, I wouldn't want to keep watching. But the fact that you say that each one of those are so stylistically different from each other, it gives me hope that, like, saying, maybe I can just skip this in a future viewing and go watch one of the other ones.
Yeah. They are stylistically different from one another, but none of them have knocked it out of the park for me yet, the 2.5 now that I've seen. But, I don't know, there's something about this that I want to sit down for an hour. Like, I don't know why, but they've got an hour out of me, and so far none of them have paced enough that I don't look at my watch at some point and go, oh, that's right, these are an hour and a half.
Yeah, no, I got that from, like, the first 10 minutes. I'm just like, it's going to be a while.
But they're all different. I'm willing to give them another shot. Also, because of the holiday thing, it's just going to get so weird. We're about to get into months of holidays that have no real movie history for horror, and I can't wait.
That's going to be interesting to see. I mean, what? The next one's title is called Down, and I'm assuming that's going to be, like, a Valentine's Day one, possibly.
You were joking earlier with the Arbor Day, but I really hope they go for it. I hope they mind this. Oh, that'd be great. Some weird, I want a Grandparents Day movie.
I can't wait. That would be great. But yeah, this one here, I'm probably going to end up giving it 4 out of 10 times I thought a commercial started up, but then it just turned into one of those Instagram advertisements that they made for the movie.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah. Because, no, that first one where I was like, wait a minute, are we already starting up with a commercial? Oh, okay, it's an Instagram video. But who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I had more fun kind of preparing for this interview, for this review. I mean, just thinking about the things that I had issues with that we can kind of laugh at. But overall, the performances were fine. I like some of the base concept. I kind of wish it was more cohesive. I feel like some more of the dialogue could have been better. Definitely if we cut it down to an hour, hell, I think 45 minutes could have been a sweet spot for this movie.
Yeah.
I feel like Hulu does kind of constrain them too, where Hulu is still the bigger networks going, well, we want to have kind of a set time frame. And they didn't go, you know, Netflix has a great thing where they get TV shows and they get anthologies and they say, yeah, just go ahead and make it however you want to. And you'll see some episodes are 45 minutes, some are 30. They do like some hour specials sometimes. And if they gave them kind of that freedom, we might have something more here. As it is, I'm still kind of bored just thinking about it and still thinking, like, if I ever rewatch it, it's still going to be fast-forwarding through a lot of that first 40 minutes. Overall, I'm going to give it 4 out of 10 random champagne bottles you should have thought about hours earlier.
Yeah. All right, Les?
All right. I would agree that it's just really the pacing, particularly on this one. I feel like it's a problem for this whole anthology series, but really here, it just should have gone faster. When it got to the parts I liked, I really liked them. I just found myself checking my watch in between. But it kept reminding me of other stuff that I also loved. I think I'd have to give it 6 out of 10 big shards of a mirror. We're not going to fully get the mirror put back together, but, you know, watch out. You could get scarred up. Because, yeah, it good. The performances were good. It reminded me of stuff I loved, but I would still rather go watch. Like, there's a couple of other movies it reminded me of that I want to go watch instead of watching this ever again.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. Also, it's kind of funny where I'm not going to spoil nothing saying this, but one of the things, it's so archetypal, this movie, that it broke two of the biggest rules about what characters die in, like, the very first kill. You're just like, ooh, wow. Just like, ooh. You got some people who are going to be angry about that part, I'm assuming, if they care.
Yeah.
If they watch it.
Yeah.
Without ads to tell them to watch it.
I didn't think about it, but yeah, they do both of those tropes. Yeah.
That's all I got.
There we go. Yeah.
Onward, done with the year, onward towards whatever the next holiday for a horror movie is.
Oh, Columbus Day. Now that's going to be a real horror movie.
I'm waiting for Leif Erikson Day.
Yes!